Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Deuce and Moe, Deuce and Moe, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Moe, Deuce and Moe, Deuce and Moe, the podcast that you know.
Hey, welcome into the Deuce and Moe podcast. The Kings playing a close game against the Sixers tonight. Oh, no. That means a loss, right? No, not tonight. The Sixers shorthanded. No Joel Embiid. He decided to rest. They got the Warriors coming up. He wants to play against Steph. No Kelly Oubre. Kings without Keegan Murray. Who is going to slow down Paul George? Well, the Kings down the stretch of this game, they were down 107-98. Tough home loss. Nope. A 15-0 run led by the Kings. Defense getting big stops. De'Aaron Fox had a monster fourth quarter. So did Malik Monk. The two combined for 24 points. Fox finished with 35 points. He missed just three shots in this game. And the Kings get back-to-back wins on the home floor. And their first win of the new year. They win tonight 113-107. They are now 15-19 on the season. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. How you doing, Mo?
Fantastic. I love starting the new year right. I said it on the postgame show. You ended 2024 the right way with the win, and you start 2025 with the win, especially with all the chaos and everything that's happening. God. Like, I don't care how you have to win. I'm not going to complain about any type of win right now. Even against the Mavs the other night, everyone's like, against the Mavs G League team, I don't give two shits. You got the dub. You found a way.
You're at a point of the year. You just have to get wins if you want to turn this shit around. And, you know, again, Does tonight's win make everything better? Hey, see, you just need a coaching change. It's all good now. No.
Healing.
They found a way to get the job done, but you still saw, like, God, they're still missing a lot of threes. Oh, they need some legit size. They don't trust their backup bigs at this point. They don't have any, they don't have a ton of options at the wing spot, especially with Keegan out. So there are still warts on this team and still things that need to be addressed. But all you can do is play the game that's ahead of you. And tonight, the opponent was the Sixers. You have two guys in Maxey and George who can be big time problems. George hasn't played well this year, really, but you know what he's capable of. And the Kings had some problems with him early. He had 30 points through three quarters.
I know.
He finished with 30 points.
I know. And that was exciting to see, especially after the way when he was getting whatever he wanted to get in this game. I wasn't as pissed off as usual because I thought there were certain moments where it was just like, that's Paul George and he has a hand in his face and that's all you can do. But I still wanted someone more up in his grill. But you also had to take a step back and go, oh, Keegan Murray's also not in this game, to be like, hey, use your size, use your strength, use your defensive ability and slow him down a little bit. They threw De'Aaron at him. They had Kevin Herter on him. They had everyone.
Trey Lyles, Keon Ellis.
Yes, everyone take a chance. And I just felt like the way then that they started mixing things up, even throwing that zone defense at the Sixers, screwing with them a little bit. I loved how they found a way to finish off this game and slow him down.
They started the game way better tonight, too. They didn't close the first quarter, and the early second wasn't great when they went to the bench unit. But I just thought that starting group, to me, it's like, you just start games better. And I felt like the ball pressure was really strong. You mentioned, like, Maxey and George, and those guys can go off on you. They were playing with physicality. The way, like, De'Aaron was picking up Maxey. Maxey's still going to make shots. Why? Because he's a really gifted offensive player. Paul George tonight, like, I didn't know, like you said, what you were supposed to do at times. Like, he kept hunting out mismatch. When Herter got in the game, he definitely went at him. Herter did what he could. And then he you know, made shots over Herter. Keon Ellis, I thought, battled him at times. De'Aaron Fox battled him, but Paul George got to a spot in that mid post and made shit happen. But down the stretch of this game, when you're down at home, like 3:30 to go, and it's 107-98, it was so impressive to see the Kings buckle down. You know, it's one thing they're like, hey, challenge you guys to go out there and get stops. And that's what apparently Doug did. It's like, hey, go get three stops. But to me, it was about the adjustments that they made defensively tonight late in this game. I mean, they were trapping the ball. There's one play out of a timeout. Nick Nurse calls a timeout when the Kings are trying to get back in the game. They inbound to Paul George, and Sabonis throws a nice trap at Paul George and forces a turnover. And that's what kind of started the momentum.
Yeah.
Fox had an amazing one-on-one defensive play against Tyrese Maxey.
They had a few nice blitzes that they did. And I was impressed with it, whether they were in, I think they usually did that when they got in that zone and they would throw that blitz at someone who was close to the half court line and almost in that corner, you know, almost cornering themselves and just making those smart adjustments defensively. But like you said, a different mentality with it of like, okay, how do we, it's like, being in the present. How do you get focus on this possession now, this play now, the next three right here, this stretch right here. And I felt like that locked in focus was there.
Yeah. And I felt like it wasn't predictable, some of the stuff they were doing. I mean, you mentioned the zone defense that they employed. I think it was at the end of the first half, but they also threw it out randomly in the second half too.
Yeah.
Like, and that was in a situation where they started in man and then signaled to get into his zone. And it completely, I think the Kings actually played it well, but Maxey ended up hitting a floater on it. But I just thought that wrinkle was good. Like, and that's the thing defensively, you should throw in some different looks. But the blitzes, the traps, the timing was just so great. It was kind of unpredictable. There was one situation where Paul George has Monk on him and Fox came over late shot clock to try to trap, and Paul George decided to kick it out. It was a shot clock violation. DeMar DeRozan came back into this game late. I thought, oh shit, are they not going to close with DeMar DeRozan? Because Lyles was in there, and he took Lyles out. And that was one of the first times I'm like, oh, man, do you put DeMar back in? Like, I don't know. This is tough. DeMar made some big defensive plays late in this game, too.
He had two steals in this one, yep. And one of those steals at the end, just anticipating where that pass was going on the inbound from the Sixers, getting it, getting fouled, yep. Going to the other end, shooting some free throws.
When I see them play that type of defense late game, I love it. Also slightly irritating.
Well, you asked, I know we'll get to it, but you asked Keon Ellis that same thing. Like, is there something in you where you're just kind of like, God, why can't we play like this all the time? And he's like, absolutely, because you're exactly right. Your frustrations of feeling like, wait, why can't you guys just play that same style of defense all the time? It's like you can tell me it's hard.
Yeah,
completely understandable. But at the same time, like other teams are doing it, you know, and sometimes other teams have other individuals and personnel that obviously they can benefit from. But with the Kings, when you don't have all the biggest players in the world and you have to rely on effort, that's just what you have to do.
Yeah. And I thought they did play some good defense tonight. I mean, overall, but down the stretch, it was just like lockdown. And, you know, the fact that the final stretch of this game, not only did they go on a 15-0 run, they forced six turnovers in that final 3:34 of the game.
Yeah.
And the Sixers didn't make a shot. So it just, it was cool. And like the fans love that type of shit. We talked about this last game. It's like, you just play with that type of effort. Even if you're not like a great defensive team, just having the communication, just having the physicality, locking in late, that's how you win. Like, especially on a night where you're not knocking down threes. The Kings missed some amazing looks from three. Shout out, by the way, to Keon Ellis. It's 107-102. The Kings just got to stop. Fox puts a ball on the floor. The help comes over. Fox finds Ellis. He had 2 of 7 from the field before the shot. Hits a big three to cut it 2-2 just like that. I love that the Kings fought through the missed threes tonight. If you're not going to make threes in this league, you better be doing some other shit. You better be getting to the free throw line a lot, and you better be getting some stops. Mm-hmm. The Kings did both those things in this one tonight.
That's what I think throughout this game, Deuce and I were kind of looking at each other laughing, going, look at them in all these other categories. You know, even when it came to points in the paint, offensive rebounds, points in the paint, 54 to the Sixers, 40, and 14 offensive rebounds to the Sixers, 8. But I mean, those two categories there, sure. But then you looked at the 3-point percentage for the Sacramento Kings at one point, and we're just like, man, if they're knocking down just a couple of threes, like they are, it's a tight game or whatever. And that's what started happening at the end. Some big threes were being made, but also the Kings defense took another leap to another, effort level, if you want to call it that. Just a locked in level, because I never questioned their effort tonight, and I thought they did a good job of setting the tone right away in this one, telling the refs, we're going to play this physical. What are you going to do about it? And I think when that is kind of said to the officials, and actually Mike Brown had brought that up before with the Cavs, and he's like, they're not going to call a foul on every single play. Like, they just, that's not the style of game that they want to play. So if you play a style that does that, then obviously it can be a good thing. This is cool.
All right. Shout out to someone in the chat who just mentioned this, saying, hey, did you see the defensive player of the game thing? They went to the roof by the beam. And I had not seen it yet. I saw Luke Laux put out a video close to the beam. I'm like, oh, that's cool. He went up there.
Yeah.
This is like crazy seeing this up close. Let me show it on the screen. The whole team is on the bench with the entire coaching staff
on
the roof of Golden 1 Center.
Wow.
That is insane.
Wait, that is so cool. The beam is so majestic.
Oh my God.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
So who won defensive player?
DeMar DeRozan.
Oh, he did. Okay.
Which you're like, wait, DeMar DeRozan. Did anyone watch Keon Ellis tonight, who had 4 steals and 2 blocks? Yeah, Keon Ellis. We'll talk about him in a minute. I'll just say this. DeMar DeRozan made some big defensive plays late. It doesn't mean he's the best defensive player on the team. But guess what? He's not known for his defense, and he came up big. He had a couple of steals in this game.
No, and that I think when you look at the steals and when those steals were and the effort from DeMar DeRozan and really just needing even his size out there at times, it was great to see.
Here's Luke Laux with the video of the beam up close.
That's the video. That is so freaking cool.
That's insane.
It's glorious. It is so glorious.
Yeah. Good for vibes. Good for vibes.
What is that even made out of? We need a, we, be, like, if anything, if everything was to go to shit, like we need to make sure we get like a Beam documentary going like ASAP, because I still want the Beam deserves, the Beam didn't do anything, you know?
Like I didn't do anything for a while. It was like a good, like almost month before it was even on.
Guess what? It wasn't missing threes. I'm glad it wasn't turning the ball over.
I'm glad they went to the roof to see if it, like, does this thing actually still work? And it does now. So that's good. Back-to-back nights. It works. Hell yeah. Who do we want to talk about first?
Probably De'Aaron.
De'Aaron was awesome tonight.
Yeah.
35 points, 13 of 16. He missed two shots. He took just 4 threes, 2 of 4 from downtown, 7 of 8 at the free throw line. I thought his defense tonight, like battling the hell out of Paul George to the best of his ability. And then I had mentioned this just a few minutes ago, one-on-one matchup with Tyrese Maxey. He played physical, defended with his chest.
Yes.
A great contest late in this game by De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, I thought when he was playing with his chest, especially defensively, moving his feet, it just looks so difficult to get around, right? And the intensity that he plays with too at that point takes away their confidence, even when they're finding ways to get in the paint or they're finding ways to make shots. You know, Tyrese Maxey is a big shot maker, and what he's been doing this year and has been incredible. Tonight, still scoring 27 points in those 42 minutes, but it's really in some of those moments that I was so impressed with De'Aaron's defense. And Doug Christie talked about it before the game. Like, yeah, De'Aaron, you unlock something in him defensively, which, like, it's there. It's incredible. How does he find that balance so he can perform the way he does on the offensive end, 35 points tonight, while still finding a way to be one of the best defenders on this team? It's difficult. And finding that balance for him, it needs to be found because it's there, but also it needs to be found on a consistent level.
How many shots did I say De'Aaron missed? Did I say 2? Someone in the chat was like, wait, 16 minus 13 equals 2.
Did you say?
I said 13 for 16. He missed 3 shots. If I said 2, it's because I'm tired. That's all I'm saying.
No excuses.
That's a turnover. The Kings had a lot of turnovers tonight. No, I loved, and what you just said is dead on. It's him trying to find that balance and late in this game.
And him at the free throw line too, by the way. Let me shine a beam on that. 7 of 8 at the free throw line, making his free throws, getting to the line. His ability to get in the paint and finish at the rim at times. I'm just like, how, sir? How?
He was 8 of 8 in the paint for 16 points in the paint tonight in his 37 minutes of action. After the game, we had a chance to catch up with Domantas Sabonis. Kind of a weird game for him. His final number is monstrous. 17 points, 21 rebounds, 7 assists, 7 turnovers. But he was 8 of 14 overall. He had 9 offensive rebounds in the game. Let's hear a conversation with Sabonis after the game.
The defense down the stretch, that was massive. Let's bring in a guy who had a big night, and I'm sure is very happy about this one, Domantas Sabonis. Domas, the fight from your team tonight, the final 309, the Sixers don't score. They had 6 turnovers. They didn't make a shot. What changed for you guys?
Coach called a timeout. He said, let's get 3 stops in a row. Let's get 3 stops in a row and win this game. And I think that's what we did. We did that. We executed, you know, knocked down free throws and ended up with the win.
And then offensively, it just felt like the energy in the ball, it was flowing. You guys were getting it moving around. Again, the same question. What was working differently within your offense tonight?
We're just sharing the ball. We're sharing the ball, you know, not thinking too much, just trying to find the open man. And he challenged us to get a lot of sprays each quarter. And I feel like we did that tonight.
What does a win like this do for you guys? Because you guys have played so many close games. You've heard the record, 3-11 and games decided by 5 points or fewer. So to win a close game tonight, to come back from double digits in the fourth quarter, what's that do for you?
It's big. It's big. You know, they have 2 superstars in the team. You know, they showed up tonight, you know, and we just did team defense. You know, shout out to Keon, Fox, everyone. You know, Keegan was out and everyone came out and did their job and played team defense.
And then Doug, his second win as interim head coach. What's been working with him leading the way?
He's just pushing us. He's pushing us to run fast, you know, play our game. Don't think, you know, just trust each other and play off our instincts, you know, and We're just figuring it out on the court for now.
Well, congratulations on the win, Domas. Go enjoy this one with your team.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
There is Domantas Sabonis after that Kings win.
Oh, Domas.
Yeah, he also mentioned the postgame, too, that there's a little more freedom, I guess, offensively right now, which is interesting because I do, you know, first few games, three games, you know, since Doug has taken over as the interim coach, Doug had talked about simplifying the offense. And I'm like, what's that mean? What's that mean?
What's that
and
mean?
I think part of it is, you know, with Mike Brown, the Kings did have a lot of they were supposed to play free-flowing, but they had a lot of plays. It's not necessarily Mike Brown, you know, he's the one calling it every time, but they're running to certain spots, and they have to be in those certain spots.
The discipline to run through an entire set,
yes.
You know, an entire action.
Yeah, they had a ton of shit, right?
Sure.
And now I think it's less about that, and it's like, we've got skilled players, we've got offensive scores and offensive players. Let's just let them work out there and see what it looks like. Now, I do think the ball is moving well. I think the pace has been fantastic the last three games. Some of the turnovers haven't been great. And so they have to find the balance of like, yeah, let's play fast. Let's get into our stuff and do all that. You can't have seven turnovers in the third quarter like you did tonight.
No, and Sixers were doing a really good job capitalizing off of a lot of the Kings' mistakes. But kind of going back to what you're saying about Domas just talking about the free-flowing offense and everyone obviously feeling good. Sabonis with those seven assists, Monk with six, De'Aaron with four. You know, guys finding each other as well. And I think when you are playing freely and you have guys, personnel that is capable of doing that, it can lead to some great things. But I also understand when things aren't going well, or let's say you're not making your shots, and you're generating open shots, you got to find a way to get into the paint. And I thought they did that tonight. I thought whatever, even when, for example, DeMar had the basketball, there was a time where I felt like things were feeling very clunky and just like, wow, nobody else is moving. It's everyone staring, or DeMar, everyone just knows DeMar is going to go if he gets it, where there's just a different type of rhythm to it when he was getting it and going. And I felt like people were still relocating with him.
He ends up in this game with 18 points. He had two steals. Those were both in the fourth, I believe, too. I thought he might have three. He was 7-14 overall in the win for Sacramento. And I think the other thing I like that I mentioned to you on post game too is just, he's not playing 37 minutes a night.
Yeah.
And I think that was something that like needed to be addressed. You know, these guys, the starters are playing such heavy minutes. And on a night you're down one starter, you're like, oh, what's that going to look like for the rest of the team? Well, Doug played Trey Lyles 31 minutes off the bench. Kevin Huerter played just under 20. You even had Doug McDermott out there to get 10 minutes tonight. But the starters didn't play like crazy high minutes. Sabonis, 36. Fox, 37. The guy who played the most minutes tonight, Keon Ellis.
Yeah, and he had 9 points, right? Playing the most minutes, he was making an impact in so many different ways, and obviously knocking down some threes late there that were super impactful when they needed it most, but four steals, two blocks, two assists. I just felt like he was everywhere. You even said it. You said, oh, we're going to figure out how many deflections he had later on once they get that going. But this guy was just in every single passing lane. He was so active. And when you are down someone like Keegan, to have that defensive presence, yeah, especially along the perimeter from someone like Keon tonight, it was great to see.
9 points for him, four steals, two blocks. Just repeating it more. I'm sorry. I already told you I'm tired, so you have to have my back a little bit tonight.
Oh, sorry. But hey.
It's kind of like a mean thing.
Way
to
say those numbers loud and proud.
I was also trying to like pad because I was going to get the interview with Keon.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Oh, deuce. Good, because I liked our conversation with Keon. I thought it was... The vibes are obviously good when you're getting wins. But it's nice to see that these guys, through so much losing, so much adversity, are feeling good right now, especially talking to them.
All right, let's hear our conversation with Keon Ellis from tonight's post game.
We're talking about this win for you guys on your home floor, starting off 2025 the right way. What was working for you guys defensively all night long?
I think just playing hard, our communication on the defensive end, we knew to string stops, we had to play as one. So a lot of communication, a lot of scrambling around just to try to get the job done.
That final 309, they don't score. You guys forced 6 turnovers. I think it was a 15-0 run to end the game. Defensively, it seemed like you guys went to another level during that stretch. When you see you guys do that stuff, do you ever go, man, why can't we just do this all the time?
Oh, for sure. I think it's the same way when shots are falling. But, I mean, I think when you turn it up like that and, you know, you see guys playing hard, you know, it just makes the next guy play as hard. So, and then the next guy falls in line as well. So when the intensity gets turned up, you know, it just becomes effective and everybody just follows the first person who turned it up.
And speaking of shots falling, you at first were missing a lot of threes and then you knocked some big ones down there, down the stretch. What kept you going? Is it people empowering you? Is it your confidence? What is it?
Well, I know I'm a good shooter, but I just hate to miss wide open. But, I mean, I'm never going to stop shooting. And then I know we have a lot of players on the team out there who, you know, the other team is going to focus on. So I know I'm going to get a lot of shots and I'm going to have to be the one to take them. So when the ball gets swung my way, I'm never, you know, thinking, you know, in my head, or I just missed the last two or whatever it is. So I'm always ready to shoot. And I knew it was going to come back to me because of the way they were helping, and I just was ready to shoot.
I'm curious, from a mental standpoint, how big is a win like this in a close game? Because you guys, I'm sure you know the numbers too. I was talking to Sabonis about this. 3-11 in games decided by 5 points or fewer. To win a close game, to come from behind at home, like what does that do for you guys?
You know, it just gives us energy. I mean, I think when you win a game like that, you know, you see you can pull it off in a close game. And I think, you know, going into the next game, well, it's the NBA in general. So, you know, every team is talented. And I think you just take that into the next game and then the one after that. So definitely to win this one the way we did by getting stops, you know, hopefully that just leads us into starting off games better going forward. And then even, you know, down the stretch when it's a tight game, you know, hopefully we can, you know, lock in like we did tonight and continue to get stops, even if, you know, the offense is going for us or not.
There's Keon Ellis after the game. And that's exactly right. Lock in when the shots aren't falling, just keep playing. Yep. And there have been, you know, sometimes you see it with Sacramento, but I can tell you this, when you play the type of defense you play tonight where you're forcing turnovers and in clutch time, and then you're getting out. God, Monk had that. There was that one defensive stop where Monk just pushed in transition. There was the basket interference.
Yes.
And I just love the aggressiveness. Just go get it.
Yeah. Monk is so crafty when he gets to go downhill, when he turns on the Jets. I loved seeing what he was doing with his energy, channeling it into that direction. I don't know why. I just thought about this too. When Andre Drummond threw down Keon, and they didn't call anything. And
can I be honest about that play?
Yeah, what?
A little bit of a flop.
Really?
I mean, it wasn't that bad. I'm probably going to get jumped. I've already been booed tonight for not doing the fog, so maybe this is my heel persona kicking.
But
I don't
Andre
know.
Drummond, like the way that he
definitely extended the arm a little bit.
In the way that he was going through Alex Len tonight, like he was the Hulk, you know?
I think Keon is flopping sometimes. It's like,
how dare you?
Look, we have a few floppers on the team, and sometimes we oversell the flopping.
Here's my thing.
I think you just have to work on it. It can't be an old, like, or when it's that exaggerated, they're like, whatever.
Or you can sell, but you have to be, De'Aaron Fox has to be selling a little bit more.
Yeah.
There's times where I'm just like, his game can be so much like SGA's, and I'm just like, flop like him.
Guys,
or sell like him.
I see the chat. Shout out to the large crowd hanging out with us tonight. We appreciate you being here. This is not a shot at Keon Ellis, okay?
You gotta sell a
little bit. You gotta sell. Someone saying, Deuce, that wasn't a flop. Keon got hit for real.
I agree.
He got hit a little bit, but the sell job, I don't know. I think he could have sold a little better.
What? Screamed? Like, what would you want him to do?
When you exaggerate a little bit, it just.
Okay, Kyle Lowry is on line one. He was exaggerating everything. I mean, that's like
that's his, true, and he's a big time flopper. You're right, and he you're right,
and he gets the call.
That's fair.
But he's really good at it. Like you have to be really good at it.
Cool, relax.
What did he say?
Those are foul juice. Don't die on this hill. I'm not making it a big deal. Okay. Now I'm going to go back tomorrow and do like a video breakdown on that specific play. And be like, let's take a look at this.
Now, if he didn't like throw his neck back so much and maybe more of his arms, it could have been a better sell. Deuce shows a tape of how to do it.
DeMar flops a lot too.
Well, DeMar, I poor guy said this. He falls back to the ground on every single jump shot, right? Like looking to get that foul. Yeah. But what I love when it goes in and he gets up quick. He doesn't stay on the ground. Like he gets up quick, gets his job done, gets back.
Oh man. Speaking of the crowd, appreciate the super chats too. SGA Sports Talk donates $2. What were your top five takeaways from this Kings win? I know that was sent seriously. It just made me laugh. It's like, all right, here are my five takeaways from tonight's win. Number five.
Get our graphic.
Number five.
Number five was the Kings in their defensive intensity.
That no, I don't like that.
Okay.
I think you go in order. Number one would be how they close.
Since we had this plan.
Number five. Number five.
Oh, yeah.
A quick start for Sacramento.
Ooh, okay.
They didn't fall down double digits early, and they were able to really set the tone with the starters.
Number four,
yeah.
The way they attacked the paint, 54 points in the paint, man, they kept going.
Number three, Keon Ellis playing some really tough minutes tonight and not being shy with the three-point shot. He knocked down 3 of 7, including a big three in the fourth. Number two.
Number two. The way that they changed up their defense. No. Ugh, what? De'Aaron
Fox.
Okay,
is
fine.
Two.
I see. De'Aaron.
Yeah.
Number two, De'Aaron Fox. Man, was he explosive tonight. 35 points and super efficient. 13 for 16 from the field.
Number one, the Kings defense down the stretch. Talk about clamping down. They allowed 0 points in the final 309 of this game.
Oh, yeah.
They forced 6 turnovers. 15-0 run. Those are our 5 takeaways from this Kings win. Also, I just realized
what
this is going to start. People will start doing super chats to tell us what to do, and we're going to be like one of those TikTok channels that they do. Like, you know, they kind of like sit there. What are those characters called? Where they just like sit there, and like they kind of move, and then they do like hi. You know, what are they,
yeah. They go bop.
Yeah.
Bop.
Like someone donate $2 for a bop. Bop.
Oh, bah, yeah. Oh, my God. Bah. Donate $15 and I'll do that. Boo. Boo.
I don't forget what those are called.
And they say, thank you, Super Chat fan, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Oh, my God. This is weird.
Anyway.
Back.
Yeah. Let's get this back on track. Hey, Mitch, thanks so much for the Super Chat. I feel bad for Kevin, but we really need to move on. Double figures in 4 of the last 18 games. He needs to be in a deadline deal. Yeah, I mean, he was 1 of 8, 0 for 3 from downtown. I mean, if we're going to go the negative for a second, yeah, 9 of 31 from downtown for Sacramento. The two guys there's only like 3 guys who knocked down threes tonight. Only 3 players knocked down threes tonight.
Yeah, Trey Lyles, 0 for 5.
Trey Lyles was 4 of 8 from downtown.
Thank
Fox,
God.
2 of 4, Ellis, 3 of 8. No one else, made a three in this game tonight. And I mean, that's been a thing the entire season, but. Yeah, Kevin has to make shots, and he's shooting 30% from three.
What else do you want to say about that? You know, because like there was even that one shot where his rhythm was so perfect. He took a sidestep dribble and shot in and out this three. And I'm like, dude, that's his three. That's his best looking three. And it's not going in.
Yeah, 2 points for him in this game. That's tough.
Tough times.
Yeah. My goodness. I didn't realize he only had 2. Trey Lyles had 12 points. So the Kings only had 14 points off their bench. Kind of crazy, too.
Not enough.
No. The starting unit looked pretty good offensively through stretches, even though they weren't knocking down threes. I mean, Monk missed some amazing looks from downtown, too.
I know.
Someone's saying 30% ain't good. No, it's not. It's what we're saying. Yeah, it's...
we're definitely on the same page.
The three-point shooting... has not been good this year. And, you know, Morgan was talking to me about that post game. It's like, this is who they are. They just don't knock down threes. Keegan Murray did not play. He was shooting 29% from three. So Keegan Murray missed tonight's game. He was doubtful, headed into the game with a left ankle problem. So he had talked about this, what, last week, I think? He said this happened December 3rd against Houston, and he jammed his foot. I think it's been a big factor. And I think Keegan is one of those guys that, if he's banged up, he doesn't want to like talk about it. He just wants to play. He wants to play through it. I think it's been impacting him more than we realize. And I'm glad he sat out tonight's game. Yep. Like, to me, it's like, dude, just get right. Just get right. You trying to play through an ankle thing, if you're not comfortable, if like it's good for a quarter or a half, and then in the second you're not effective, it's not allowing you to attack, you're missing shots because you can't plant, like, get it healed. And like, get the rest.
I can't imagine he's someone that like gives a shit what people think too. Like, so if people were like, oh, someone's soft for sitting out. Like, I just can't imagine him caring. I think it's more that he cares so much about the game, about his team, that he just wants to be out there. Love that. Love that mentality. Yeah. But it can also come back to hurt you at points. And that's why you got to make sure you're doing the right thing, which I'm glad he did sit out.
King's Show Guy says, bro, it's been a month. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's been a month. If it's lingering and it's affecting him, like, he should sit out a little bit, because if you're not effective out there, like, if you're not knocking down shots and it's not allowing you to be an offensive threat, you're not attacking closeouts, like, offensively, that's going to be a challenge. And they need more from him offensively. It's been a huge downturn this year. Just overall, I mean, he's shooting 41%. I think there's also been a struggle trying for him to kind of find his spot in this offense.
Yeah.
With the changes, you know, they have to get him going. I know Doug Christie was asked about him before the game. He's like, I'm not worried about him. Like, he's going to be fine. He's going to be fine. He just needs to come in and he needs to be in attack mode, blah, blah, blah. So I really want to see him get on a hot run at some point, but most importantly, it's like, just get right, dude. Like, there's aspects of your game that are better, your defense, your rebounding, but offensively it seems like he is reverted. I mean, he's almost like a non-factor offensively right now.
Sure. And
whether that's mentally, physically, or both, could be both. Got to get that figured out.
Yeah. And hopefully that happens, especially with the way that they look like that they're playing offense again, just the last couple of games. So we'll see how that continues.
If you have not done it yet, can you hit the thumbs up and subscribe? All it does is help our channel grow. Shout Thank out you. To the big crowd. We should have like almost 1,000 thumbs up by now. Someone in the chat saying that's called NPC. You know, the
Oh really?
The thing I was doing, of the TikTok. There's thing.
Something. Damn. Yeah. How would you know that, dude?
I've heard of it before. I've heard of it.
Because you donate to those people for a wham.
I am amazed at those people.
Why?
You go sit, there'll be like a guy in the middle of the street with his like camera set up, dressed as like Spider-Man. And he's just like nonstop for hours out there reading. That takes a lot of energy.
Reading, but making money off of each one, right?
Oh, okay. So just because you're making money, that doesn't mean it doesn't take energy. And
I mean, it's like adrenaline rush. Like, if I was making money by just like making noises.
Then do it. Then do it, Morgan. If it's so easy, go do it. Start it tomorrow. Go on your TikTok. Go dress as, who'd you dress as?
Like Winnie the Pooh or something.
That makes sense.
Right.
It makes sense.
Because I'm a little hefty after the holidays.
Would you wear a shirt that shows your like your gut?
Yeah, thank you.
And would you have like a thing of honey? What would your gimmick be?
So my big old gut would just be rolling over. Oh, wait. Winnie the Pooh doesn't wear pants.
You don't wear pants. Do you wear?
No, I'm wearing pants.
Well, you would dress in a Winnie the Pooh costume, I'm sure. How does Winnie the Pooh sound, though?
I almost did a Mickey noise. Oh, no. Am I doing it? Wait, no. Piglet. I can't do it. I can't do it. Piglet.
Doesn't Winnie kind of have like a British accent in a way?
Oh, Christopher. No, he does. No, he does not have a British accent, you weirdo. Oh.
Okay.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Am I doing it right? Oh, my God. Somebody help me.
Winnie the Pooh talking.
No one knows how to do. Oh, bother. Good job.
Just quiet, Morgan. Let me get this.
Think.
Think.
Oh.
Think.
Oh, yes. Time for my stoutness exercise. Up,
down,
down up. When I up, down.
Touch the ground.
Morgan, that's a little bit of a British accent.
No, it's not.
Okay.
I don't think it's British. Is it British? It's not British. No. So anyway.
We'll start that on your channel.
Yeah, okay. Proceed.
I don't even know how the hell we got there.
I do.
Let's bring it back. Any other thoughts on tonight's game specifically? There's some other Kings topics I want to get to too.
One other thing, because I know we talked about Malik Monk obviously going over 5 from 3-point lane. He was 10 for 10 at the free throw line. And
yep.
Not only is it impressive making all your free throws, the attempts, getting there, getting into the paint, also having the 6 assists. So being the playmaker, then allowing Domas to, you know, be in that 2-man game with him, but then Domas cleaning shit up at the rim. There was a lot of fun things happening, and the frustrating times were obviously when Paul George was going off getting his through 3 quarters, but then also I thought in that first half when they're skipping the ball to like Eric Gordon and he's just knocking down all these threes. For them to make the defensive adjustments that they made, whether it was to go in that zone and or to not allow someone to be as open on that skip pass, I love what I saw.
Yeah, the bench for the Sixers had a really good stretch in that second quarter that got them a 14-point lead at one point before the Kings battled back. We got more of the podcast coming up in just a second. Some other Kings topics that we have to hit. We should mention that tonight's podcast presented by our friends over at Golden One Credit Union. We are all one at Golden One.
We are one. Join for up to 50% off Kings home games. My goodness, you raise that card up into the sky. You can get upgraded to better seats in the arena, or you can even get called down for a little fun game on the court and win some money. And there's just so many benefits. So start your fun new financial journey today.
Yeah, go to goldenone.com. We appreciate their support of the Deuce and Mo podcast, also presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. If you are in the market for new windows, there's no better place to go. Go check out their showroom, pick out the windows that will make a difference. It's going to make your house look way better.
Ding, ding.
Safer.
Yep.
Energy efficient. Check, check, check. Also, if you don't need windows, yeah, but what else do they do? HVACs. You need an HVAC system? Boom. My HVAC's good. Do you need it tuned up? Mm. They do that as well. So go ahead and trust the experts at Northwest Exteriors, Morgan.
Yeah, and they also have a whole bunch of new things happening in the new year, which obviously makes sense. So make sure to just check them out. Go to their website. Their current sale now is you can upgrade your windows system during their 30th anniversary sale. So you purchase 7 windows and a patio door for a huge discount. Basically, if you need a lot of things done with your house, you just reach out to them. Don't be intimidated. Reach out to them today.
And go to northwestexteriors.com because Morgan Reagan, they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
I asked the chat, who is a player of the game tonight? Is it De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, Keon Ellis, or Domantas Sabonis? 55% of the people who have voted say De'Aaron Fox. Who would it be for you tonight, Morgan?
Player of the game. I loved Keon Ellis's defense, but I'm going to definitely go with De'Aaron Fox. I just thought it was such a forceful game.
De'Aaron Fox.
Hey! Yeah,
35 points, 13 of 16 shooting, missing just 3 shots. 7 of 8 at the line, 2 of 4 from downtown, and some great defense down the stretch on Tyrese Maxey. De'Aaron Fox are simply the best player of the game presented by Northwest Exteriors. Couple of other Kings things that we need to get to. Number one, we got to have a press conference for Monty McNair. I mean, I'm just a little like thrown off, and I know it's been a topic. Well, traditionally when a coach gets fired,
sure,
I can't think of a time in which a coach in sports got fired and the team didn't come out and talk about it. You have to answer some questions, and you made the decision to move on from Mike Brown. You got to come out and answer some questions, even if you're uncomfortable with some of them coming your way. The fans want to know. Well, and I know everyone's in the process of like, okay, we're moving on from Mike, but like, I don't know. It's almost a week after the firing, and you haven't heard from Monty McNair.
For sure. And even if he were to come out right now in the second, I wouldn't expect to hear anything, you know? You know what I mean? Like, where it's like, oh, that makes sense. Oh, okay, sure. Now I get it. Whatever. It's like, it's more like you said. It's just part of the sports culture, and that is what you're supposed to do. So, yeah, the fact that we haven't heard anything, I wonder if we will. I don't, like, do you think it's like holiday time? Like,
no, there's nothing that you can be like, oh, that's why.
I'm like just trying to think, like, there has to be something. But
no, I mean, you got to come out and answer some questions. And you're right.
What are you going to hear that makes you feel better?
I could do the press conference as Monty McNair, and you know what it would be like. So, like, it's not like he's going to say, but the reality is, he has to take these questions from the media, and some of them are going to be tough. And I think it's long, long overdue for that.
Yeah, just a lot. I mean, you're just hearing it from, obviously, the pulse of the fan base and obviously so many people within media, just, and even just around the NBA are like, what? This usually happens. So, yeah, hasn't happened yet. We'll see.
I know Sam Amick was on a podcast, too. I haven't heard the full thing. There was a clip circulating where he was discussing that sometimes Sabonis and Mike Brown were not always on the same page with things.
Okay.
Which doesn't totally surprise me. I feel like Sabonis, for as talented as he is, I think he's very, like, you know, there's
hard-headed.
Yeah, but I think there's sometimes students that, like, feel like they know more than the teacher sometimes in life.
Sure.
Rajon Rondo was like that too. Like, and Rondo's a brilliant basketball mind and stuff, but, like, you know, I think Sabonis would get frustrated with things at times. But, like, I'm big on this. Like, I don't think Mike had bad intentions ever. I think he wanted these guys to practice hard. And I think sometimes these guys are probably irritated. There's so many practices. I think you want to hold them accountable. But I think he was doing it for the right reasons. He felt like this team needed to take a step. And to do that, he had to push them to a level. I'm not sure everyone loved that all the time, I'm guessing. I don't know.
I think the best way to look at it is that, bottom line, you're coaching in a league where if you're a high school coach, or even if you're a college coach, there are not going to be good enough players that can say, this coach makes us run too much, or we have too many practices, that is going to get that coach fired. Like, the athletic director and everyone's going to be like, yeah, good. Like, we want to have a better program. Well, like, this is good. When you get to the NBA, it's one of the only, you know, or in any professional sports, it's like these leagues, you have the player's voice or just players not liking certain things. And it can eventually get on everyone's nerves, you know, and all these different things. But at the same time, I'm totally with you where I think the intent of the standards and wanting the best being there, I love that mentality and I love that attitude. But sadly, we are in a world where politics play a part in every aspect. I mean, it's the same. You just even think about it, you go to broadcasting, and it's like, just because you want the best broadcast, if you can't, you still can't push certain lines, you know, or you can't yell at certain people that aren't doing things right. Like, you just have to play politics. And sometimes some coaches and some people aren't willing to, and good for them. Do whatever makes you happy at the end of the day. But you might also lose a job, but you might also run away with $20 million. You never know.
Someone in the chat says Sabonis got Brown fired. No.
No.
I mean, I'm not saying that. Sam Amick was just saying that there are times, you know, those guys weren't seeing eye to eye all the time. I mean, I think Mike's thing, and you knew this before he got the job, like, very rigid coach. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And kind of old school in some ways.
I loved it.
The reality is, like, look, we did a 2-hour podcast when he got fired, and we talked about this. I wouldn't have done it. I would have made a move and seen what it looked like after, because I feel like everything stems from, like, the fact that the Kings need help at the wing spot. We all see it. We all know it. We've known it forever. And if that had happened, what would that look like? Would that have decreased Keegan's minutes a little bit, allowing him to be more effective? Would that make the Kings defense better? Would acquiring a guy who's a 3-and-D guy help the offense because you have an efficient three-point shooter when you haven't had a lot of three-point shooters this year. Like, those things all matter. And Mike took the fall because someone decided that, like, we needed a change, and we are 3-11 these close games, yeah, and we're bad at home, blah, blah, blah.
And so. I've processed it where it's like, yep, this is just what happens so much in professional sports, whether we like it or not. And I wish it wouldn't happen all the time, because I think there are tweaks in patience and communication that could lead to so much more winning, yeah, than making a quick decision to just get rid of something. But at the same time, like, my understanding for it, I've been more numb throughout this process too, because it's like, seen this before, you know? But at least the Kings have a better roster than they have had in the past when all these things were happening. I just hope, even after these two wins, though, no one's thinking, all right, that was the change we needed, let's continue forward. It's no. There still needs to be change to the roster.
Well, one thing I do like is Keon getting more minutes. And of course, he played more tonight because Keegan wasn't there, but they have to find a way to make sure this guy is getting legit minutes because of what he does defensively. And yes, because he is one of the guys that can knock down threes as well. Like, I know he's not perfect. I know he can make mistakes sometimes, but I just see his relentless approach. I think his instincts, he's so opportunistic when it comes to going after the basketball. His help defense is at the right time, deflections. I mean, there's a play tonight where Maxie's getting downhill on him.
Yeah.
And he comes down and swipes the ball, knocks it out of bounds. Like, he just is so handsy, deflections, steals. I just love what he brings.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think finding that balance of what's working, stick with it. Even if you're like, what?
Sorry. We're just talking about Keon Ellis. I just looked at the update. The NBA.com just posted deflections.
Hell yeah.
According to NBA.com tonight, Keon Ellis had 9 deflections.
Hell yeah.
9 deflections tonight.
9 points, 9 deflections, 4 steals.
2 blocks.
Just an impact. That's an impactful insane player tonight. Yeah, in so many different ways. His energy, what he gives out there, every possession. Love it.
Next step, though, for this team is to make that move. And I don't know, like, I'm just so curious what the thinking is with the front office. Are they trying to get something done like ASAP?
I hope.
Because everything you hear is like, oh, this was the move to let go of Mike Brown. This was, they want to win. Like, Doug Christick, we're here to win. Like, this is not like punting. We're trying to win.
Then tweak.
I mean, are you waiting to see what it looks like through this challenging stretch? Are you waiting closer to the deadline when maybe there's some pressure on teams to actually make a move? Man, there's going to be teams hunting some of these guys.
That's why I'm like, go. Like, don't put yourself in a position where it becomes too late again, right? And because you are in a position where obviously people are not happy, and you want to make sure you're making people happy by getting more wins, by making the tweaks now. And that goes for everyone within the organization all the way to the players.
Yeah, I'm so all over the place with my thinking with the trades. You know, I was at a pretty low spot the other day after Mike Brown got let go, trying to think of where do you go? You're 13-19. So they're now 15-19 right now, which isn't great. Just a couple of games behind the Warriors for the 10th spot in the play-in. I mean, play-in, are you excited about that? But there's so many issues that are here long-term with the De'Aaron Fox contract extension. You have to think about where the team is at record-wise. Do you really want to mortgage potential picks to go get someone like Cam Johnson? It would take picks. And then on the other hand, you're like, well, if you do mortgage a couple of picks and it doesn't work, what is the worst possible scenario?
Thank you. What's the worst?
I think you said thank you. Like, yeah, thank you.
I'm saying do it.
Okay. I think, well, the worst possible scenario is that you become terrible.
Uh-huh.
And then it doesn't work. You miss the playoffs, and then you don't have picks coming up. And then you're kind of in this spot where it's like, do we just keep rolling with this team that's below average and expensive, or do we blow it up? And I think that's the point. The worst case scenario, I would say, is
you're just going to be what you have been.
You blow it up and try to recoup some picks. But like, if you're trading De'Aaron Fox or you're trading like Cam Johnson, if he was on the team, like, you're probably getting picks from teams that are good. Like, are those picks going to be that valuable compared to the picks that you gave up to get Cam Johnson?
Pick the right people, then pick the right people.
Or if it's a situation where the Nets are like, yeah, you know what? We want a pick, but we also want Devin Carter.
This market, this organization needs established players, Deuce. We haven't seen ton of success through the draft, through these picks. I shouldn't say it because obviously you saw Tyrese even turning into Domas Sabonis. And then you think about even someone like De'Aaron over his 8 years and what he's become as a player. Like, obviously there are picks, but the Kings have had a lot of picks over the years. And that's why I think when you also look at a smaller market like Sacramento, trade, make the trade for established players and then figure it out. And I say figure it out because you've been in a okay, bad place for so many years. You have to take these risks. And if you go back to okay and bad, okay, cool. Like, been there before. Prefer not to. Wish it could all just go in the right direction, so tough, but dude. Thought it was going to after Beam team year.
And this is what's so irritating about how they played this year, because, you know, say they win a few more of the close games that they lost and they're sitting like a couple games above 500 right now. Well, if you were like, I mean, let's just say their record was flipped right now. Instead of 15-19, they were 19-15. I mean, they'd be a top six team right now. That's what's so irritating. And then it would be easier to have these conversations. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, because then it could take you. At the same point, you're like, okay, look at how tight 7-10 is in the West. Like, is there a way to get in? But then you have to, God, it's just, I just don't know that this team, like, you go get someone like Cam Johnson, is it taking you to a playoff series? Like, what's it taking you to?
But maybe it's not, but you're also adding valuable assets to your team. Yeah. And I understand that second round picks are valuable when it comes to trades and it comes to what so many teams are getting excited about. I think because the salary cap and the luxury tax and all these different, so they think, okay, well, if we can find things in the second round, whatever. But my point to that too is that in Sacramento, it's very hard to acquire free agents that want to come in here. And by the way, getting Monk to sign back, DeMar to come here, Mike Brown was head coach at that time. Yeah. They saw stability. They go, great, we want to run with this stability. That gone. Bye. It's gone. And so now you're back in a place where you're not going to make free agents trust you. You have to trade for these assets and for these pieces.
I mean, the option is to make a push and try to get into the mix again. Or you just can't stay where you are.
Yeah.
You have to make a decision. Which way do you want to go? Do you want to try to push for this? Do you really believe that a tweak can elevate you and then all you can win a first round series or get to the second round? Like, what's the ceiling? Is that worth it? Can it make you competitive for a couple of years? I mean, I don't know. I drive myself crazy thinking about it. Lakers are 18-14. Minnesota 17-15. The Spurs 17-16. The Warriors 16-16. The Suns on the outside looking in at 15-17. The West is full of just like, there's one great team in the West. It's Oklahoma City, and they're far and away better than everybody. It's not even close.
And they are fun to watch.
They're outstanding to watch.
Play, I mean, joy.
And they're banged up.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's just, and they also have the ability to go out there and make a move too if they wanted to. They could package some of their depth, and they've got all those picks. They could go take a swing at like Cam Johnson.
They can do whatever they want. They've positioned themselves in a great place. Yeah. I know.
Well, go beat Memphis coming up.
Hey, there you go.
Step one is beat Memphis. I mean, you had 15-19 pisses me off.
Shut up. up. Memphis, go. 23-11. Memphis, looking good. No Ja Morant, though, when the Sacramento Kings get to take them on Friday.
That's going to be a tough game, especially if Keegan's out, too. And sure I know is. Ja's out, but... And the Kings are catching some breaks here, this stretch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are teams trying to do Doug Christie a solid? Like, every team's like, hey, Doug, we'll let you... We'll set you up for some success here. No LeBron. Okay. Oh, okay, then take advantage of that. Dallas goes, all right, no Luka, Kyrie, Clay, Lively, Najee Marshall suspended. Then tonight, you're in a situation where Embiid doesn't play and Oubre sits. Next game, no Ja Morant. Yeah, Memphis is a very good team. The Kings played them pretty well. That was a close game that they weren't able to close out in Memphis. 23-11, as Morgan mentioned. Their depth is unbelievable, man. It just seems like they can go to their bench and everyone just contributes. There's so many good stories from the rookie, Jalen Wells, to Scottie Pippen Jr., to Jay Huff. I don't know. I like that team. They play a new offensive style, and defensively they still play a fun way because Taylor Jenkins is a maniac and has built an amazing culture.
Yeah, and they have guys that can knock down a three-point shot from some of their bigs to obviously someone like Luke Kennard coming off the bench. It's play defense the right way. Lock in.
Yeah.
You can do it, but you got to do it. You okay, bud?
Yeah. I'm just thinking about the schedule
Stop
ahead.
Stop thinking so hard, please. Like, live, be in the now.
I am.
No, I know, but like, because that's the thing. We can go, our brains can go that way. It's 2025, a new way of thinking. And by the way, someone else mentioned this too. They mentioned when we brought this up on New Year's Eve, and they said, Morgan's broken mirror. It's working. It's working. Yeah, because the mirror, you're breaking through all the negative energy, and you're going through the other side. And so you're not looking back. Breaking through it. Remember that. You broke through it. Don't forget the broken mirror. And this is what I love.
So everybody go around your house right now.
Break the shit out of every mirror.
We don't need mirrors. For what?
Yeah.
Just trust.
You're beautiful.
Trust yourself.
Yep.
Trust that you can do your hair and your makeup or whatever you do when you look in the mirror. Flex. Just trust it.
Flex? Do you flex in the mirror?
Sometimes.
Do you really? Wait, do you?
Look at that shit. Go break your mirrors. Go break your mirrors. I know what I was going to say, though. If Keegan doesn't play against Memphis, too.
What?
This is you need wings. Like, look at your size today. Look at your size of your starting lineup with Fox, Monk, and Ellis. Like you need a backup big that you trust. They don't trust Alex Len.
And when I say this, don't be insulted because I'm not saying this toward you. It's a broken record. And you're exactly right. You know, it's like, yeah, no shit. Like, we know, Deuce. And I like that you're saying it because it's like maybe if we say it enough, it will happen. But Alex Len at times tonight, just getting bullied by
Drummond. Yeah, dude.
It was surprising because I was like, I thought you were a strong dude. What's happening there? That can't be the case. There can be certain matchups, certain times, sure, but it feels like it's a lot lately. And then obviously you just look around the league and you see the size difference and this isn't sustainable.
It's not. They got it done tonight.
They did.
And last game.
Celebrate it. Wins are hard in the NBA, and you're going to celebrate it every single time with us. All right there?
No fog, though. No fog.
No fog, but still.
All right, super chats. Want to make sure I didn't miss anyone. Kevin Durant donates $2 saying, talk about Kevin Durant joining the Kings, please.
Only Kevin Durant would say that about himself.
I joked about that. Today in a group chat.
Of course.
Yeah, the Suns are in a weird spot too. Like, Booker hasn't been great. Beal's been banged up. They're struggling after an amazing start. You know, the two teams that have been really struggling, the Warriors and Suns in the West too. Even more so than Sacramento in some ways. But the Suns are all in. So, like, there's not much they can really do to tweak their team. Like, what moves can this team make to get better? I thought they were going to be better this year. There are stretches, but They've had the inconsistency with the lineup too. The only way they could pivot from this is if they moved someone big like Kevin Durant.
How old is he?
What about KD going back? KD going back to OKC? Go crazy, huh?
Do you think that would screw with what they have?
He makes like $50 million too.
Well, and that. I mean,
that's a tough contract to trade for.
KD, De'Aaron Fox.
I mean, I would do. I'm insane. I would do it.
Oh,
I
would he's one of the one of the only older players that I'm like, yes, 100%. Yes, that is the try it, do it. Why not? But it's not going. But yes, it's fun to think about.
And Daniel says this in the chat. This is so true. It's something we were talking about earlier with the Kings, but the Suns don't have picks right now. But if they blew it up, they can get picks. And I think a lot of teams are thinking like that. I mean, you look at what Brooklyn has been able to do. Well, they traded all those guys, Kyrie, KD, James Harden. Like, they got the picks back.
Yeah.
Right? They moved those guys, and they eventually moved Bridges. Like, they're probably going to get some assets for the Cam Johnson deal, whether it's a young player or draft pick, whatever. Like, yeah. I mean, they got some second rounders for Dorian Finney-Smith. So, I don't know. I think teams are less worried about that now. Like, oh, we'll get him back. We'll get him back. Also, shout out to Ricky in the chat. He donated $20. Appreciate you guys so much.
Also, someone mentioned the chat, just to mention it really quick, as we have another super chat saying, Keon. Thanks, Dennis. Pistons tonight, Jaden Ivey, just with his injury. And you see him getting stretcher off the court, and you just hoping. I mean, that's not a good sign. But just hoping whatever it is, speedy recovery, because he's been playing.
He's playing really good basketball.
Yeah, he has. Yeah. And so have the Pistons. And the Pistons still ended up winning the game.
Yeah, dude, that was sad. And for that team to find a way to come together and win a game without that. I mean, I saw Cole Anthony of Orlando. He was like crying during it. So I didn't even see the official update on it. But yeah, dude.
I know. That's so rough. Heal up. Healing vibes for Jaden Ivey.
All right. Any final thoughts?
Final thought.
I got one.
Oh, dude, this one.
Tomorrow night, Stockton Kings are in action.
Yeah.
Stockton Kings are in action, taking on the Memphis Hustle. Devin Carter was assigned to Stockton today.
Okay.
And he was called back up later in the day, which tells me he practiced with Stockton.
Okay.
And, you know, he's trying to return to action. I feel like there's a chance, and maybe I missed it, that he plays tomorrow night for the Stockton Kings. So we'll be on the call for that one.
Hell yeah.
We'll let you know if that ends up happening, but I'll be intrigued to see, you know, what he looks like. That first game, he looked pretty good, and it was his first time playing 5-on-5 in that type of situation since March, and he had 29 points. Yeah, so I hope he plays tomorrow.
Same, and we have to have a nice, crisp call.
Thanks. Why? Because tonight hasn't been crisp? I know tonight hasn't been crisp.
In,
I know.
In all
I'm
not... aspects for both of us, though, on pre and post, and then here.
Tonight?
Yeah.
The pod? Yeah.
No, I thought the pod was good, but like pre and post, it was just.
Is this our post game press conference about our podcast right now? Yeah, this is.
Oh, solid pod.
Yeah, one of our weakest in a while. For
how?
Sure. I don't know. And it's from me. It's not even you. I know, but you've been great.
But like, you haven't done anything wrong.
Yeah, I just haven't been my sharp self. You know, sometimes you're so used to someone like me, like the head of the snake, pushing the pace. I mean, people accuse me of being on drugs.
Oh, yeah. No, there's so many people that are like, he for sure is popping Addies before every single pregame. And I'm like,
well, I would say caffeine.
That's natural.
I would say caffeine's a drug.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And I do drink on game days. Yeah, I drink some caffeine.
On caffeine.
But no Adderall. No. I've never done anything outside of the grain, man.
The cannabis. Yeah. No, and it is so funny because I felt like today, pre and post, I was just like, oh, get our shit together. Like, be more fun. And then we picked it up in the C block. Post game, there was something I threw to. I didn't like how I threw to it. You know, just the things you screw. You just want to be great. And like, we criticize and analyze players whenever they're not great on a play or they have a turnover. I mean, we have to hold ourselves accountable for our own turnovers.
Yeah.
We just want to play like a 99% great game.
And maybe people in chat are right. It's I didn't bring out the fog.
Oh, my God. So you guys are funny.
Yeah, but so I'll be interested to see if Devin plays more. I hope he does play.
Yeah,
I hope
yeah, but we'll be on the call, so we'll be sure to put out those links as well.
Let us know what you think about things going forward. Drop comments after this video. What do you think about the Kings? What should they do? You want to wait and see the next week or so before making a move? Do you want them to just go, no, go, just go get a move. Let's go and win. Or are you going, you might have to blow this up, so relax. Let us know. We love you guys so, so, so much, but we got to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night.
See ya.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.